River's Edge is a new movie starring Dennis Hopper and Crispin Glover. Our film critic Stephen Schiff says the subject matter is disturbing, but the movie's not very compelling.
At the beginning of River's Edge, a big Lummoxy high school kid kills his girlfriend and leaves her naked corpse lying by the riverside. His buddies come to see it. They discuss the crime, trying to figure out why they don't feel anything much about it. They poke at the body with sticks. Above all, they decide not to narc on the killer, not to go to the police. All of this vaguely gruesome stuff takes place under dreary gray skies in some unidentified West Coast town. The kids there are all doped up on something or other, and so are their little brothers and sisters, and so are their moms and dads. It's a pretty grim vision. And the movie has thrown a lot of critics into a spin. Some of my colleagues seem to think River's Edge is this year's big cult film event, the Blue Velvet of 1987, only they like it better. Blue Velvet, after all, was strange and stylish and hard to take, whereas River's Edge has the reassuring look of a concerned, liberal art film. It's disturbing, all right, but not in any way that gets under your skin. You can probably tell I'm not on the River's Edge bandwagon. I respect its grittiness, and at the beginning I respected its refusal to soften any of the incidents it depicts. I enjoyed a few scenes like this one, in which the blasé teens are interviewed for TV.
I think they should have arrested John.
John?
Well, he killed Jamie.
You knew the killer?
Yeah. You know, we both kind of knew the killer. You know, as well as, or in addition to, you know, who he killed, too. And, you know, because of that, it's pretty hard for us to be,
objective?
Yeah, that's it, objective. You know, since we did know the two alleged people involved and everything. You know, and whereas we might be all, you know, upset this morning or something, you know, we're not because of the fact that we're not objective at all. I also play guitar, by the way.
That's a familiar sequence, but nicely handled. And yet, River's Edge has two big problems. The first is the most egregious case of miscasting I've seen in years, that of Crispin Glover in the crucial role of the gang leader. You'll remember Glover as the nerdy father in Back to the Future. And if you think that makes him an odd choice as a charismatic youth chieftain, you're right. He's just as nerdy here, and just as mannered and theatrical and uncool. I found it impossible to believe that these tough, streetwise kids would follow him anywhere. But I was even more bothered by the film's fuzzy-minded preachiness. Here's a movie that depends on feelings we probably already have before the movie begins. We're bound to be shocked by the murder, and then we're bound to be even more shocked because the kids on screen feel nothing. So, why is it that about halfway through, the director, Tim Hunter, seems to grab us by the shoulders and start yelling, "You should be shocked by this! Why aren't you shocked? Why doesn't anybody care?" The thing is, we do care. In fact, the movie would have a lot more impact if we were allowed to sit and experience our own dismay, instead of having the filmmakers beat that dismay into us. After a while, the whole film comes to seem annoying, and even trivial. You want to brush it off, which is a real shame. River's Edge is based on incidents that actually happened a few years ago in Milpitas, California. Almost everyone who heard about them responded with horror. Strangely enough, people who see River's Edge may wind up feeling less about the crime when they walk out of the theater than they did when they walked in.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.